Bwant a, good afternoon. Diolch yn fawr unwaith eto I chi gyd am ddod. So, bwant a, yesterday we agreed across the United Kingdom that the current restrictions on our daily lives will continue for a further 3 weeks. That decision was based on expert scientific analysis of the latest data on the coronavirus outbreak across the United Kingdom. Now, I know that the last 3 weeks have been very difficult and that many families have had to make real sacrifices and that now we are asking for a further 3 weeks of those sacrifices to continue. But what I do want to say to people here in Wales is that all that effort, the effort made by our staff in the NHS and in social care, and the things that everyone in our different ways have been able to do, those things have made a real difference. At the start of the coronavirus pandemic, we had around 150 critical care beds in Wales. Now we've more than doubled that number. We had 10,000 beds available in the National Health Service with the field hospitals that we have and are planning in Wales, we will have over 7,000 more. That 3 weeks really has been used purposefully and deliberately to strengthen our NHS. I want to say to everybody in Wales who has helped to make that difference, diolch yn fawr. Thank you so much for playing your part. And as ever on these occasions, I just want for a moment to remember those people who are no longer with us at the end of this three-week period, and to think for a moment of their families, and to thank them for the patience and for the strength that they have shown. We don't forget the suffering that that has meant for people in so many parts of Wales. I do want to say to people in Wales, however, that those 3 weeks have been well used. On the 7th of April, we saw the highest number of new admissions for coronavirus in the outbreak so far to Welsh hospitals. On that day, the figure was 196. It has been below that number every day since. And while figures go up and down, yesterday, that figure was as low as 105. And while the number of people needing critical care for coronavirus in Wales rose rapidly at the end of March and into April, that figure was also the highest so far on the 9th of April at 161. But it has stabilised and been below that figure every day since. These are the reasons why we are able to look forward cautiously and carefully to the future, to what Wales and the wider world will look like when the pandemic is over. And I want to say to people in Wales today that the next 3 weeks are weeks that we are determined to use to plan ahead, to work with governments across the United Kingdom, to prepare for any easing of lockdown in a coordinated way. And I'm just going to mention six different ways in which I think this three-week period will be crucial in allowing us to plan together for recovery. To begin with, we need to have in place common and objective measures which will tell us when it is safe to begin to lock, to lift the lockdown measures. We'll take advice from chief medical officers. We need to know what figures need to be falling and how long they need to be falling for. And we need to do that in a common way across the United Kingdom, and we need to do it early, I think, in the three-week period. Whenever we begin to lift the lockdown, we are likely to see coronavirus outbreaks in different parts of the United Kingdom. And that's why we need to use this 3 weeks to put public health surveillance measures in place. So if there are local outbreaks of the virus, we can identify them quickly and respond to them effectively. In Wales, we have retained a national public health service with a strong local presence. It's a great source of strength and will be even more so as we come out of lockdown and put those surveillance measures in place. The third thing we need to do in this 3 weeks is further to strengthen the National Health Service. I gave some figures a moment ago about how we have increased critical care capacity and bed capacity. That process is not over. We need to use the 3 weeks to continue to strengthen the NHS for what lies ahead. And fourthly, as we come to lift the restrictions, we need to know what actions to take first. That's why here in Wales we've started to develop a series of tests which will help us to make those decisions. Any easing of restrictions will need to pass a series of tests, such as, does that action continue to protect public health? Can it be policed? Is it capable of being rapidly reversed if that were to be necessary? I want to discuss those tests with other governments in the United Kingdom as I hope we move together to plan for our future. The fifth thing I want to do over those 3 weeks is to continue to learn from international experience. There are already countries in Europe and beyond where restrictions are being lifted. We need to use the time we have to stay in close touch with those other countries so that we can learn from them what is working and where it may not be working. Now, Public Health Wales has long been an active participant in global public health networks and relationships. We will use that advantage over the next 3 weeks to make sure that here in Wales, our plan for the future is well informed by what is happening elsewhere. And finally, we wanted to use this 3 week period to draw in experience and expertise from beyond government itself. We are establishing a group of people from inside Wales and beyond to challenge our thinking, to contribute new ideas, and to help us to plan for recovery, for the future of our health and well-being, and the future of our economy. So over the last 3 weeks, we have continued to ask a great deal of people here in Wales, but by acting together, we are making that difference. And as we look beyond the next 3 weeks, we look to the moment when the lockdown will begin to ease and eventually to end. And once again, the way we want to do that in Wales is by working together towards that day. Diolch yn fawr, thank you very much. Owain.
Mr. Can I begin on care homes? We've spoken to one care home owner in Crickyeth who says that if one of his residents gets coronavirus, it will be very difficult to shield all the other residents. And he's urging you as a government to put a system in place where if somebody in care homes does get coronavirus, that they take him to hospital. What would you say to him?
Well, I would say to him that that is a matter that needs to be resolved locally in his sets of circumstances. We know there are many care homes in Wales who are successfully looking after patients who have, or residents who have coronavirus while continuing to look after people who don't and are taking measures inside the care home to be able to separate people and look after them successfully. I'm quite sure that there will be some examples where that will be a challenge because of physical layout and so on, and that needs to be resolved locally with that local authority, with that local health board. I don't think there is a national rule that you could apply to all circumstances because many care homes are successfully managing to continue to operate.
And on shielding, we've also had heard concerns from dialysis patients in particular who say that they were on the shielding list, they're now not on the shielding list, and believe that there are some problems here in terms of getting goods and so on because of the shielding status.
Well, if that is the case, and to be frank, Owen, I haven't been told of any changes to the shielding criteria, but if there are people who are not on the shielding list and are very vulnerable and are unable to collect medicines or get food or don't have anybody else who can do it for them, then right across Wales, our local authorities are being able to respond to those people. They're able to mobilise volunteer effort and counsel services so that if there are individuals who are in that position where they can't get food for themselves, can't get essential other services, they should go to their local authority, to the hub that the local authority has established. And I've been really encouraged in the last few days hearing back from local authorities about the way in which they are able to step in and assist. James.
Hi, James Williams, BBC Wales. I understand things are constantly moving, but given what you've said today, is it right to infer that you think at the end of this current three-week lockdown period that there will be some changes to the restrictions on our daily lives, partial or otherwise? And also, you and government ministers have spoken in the past how you think the peaks will come at different stages in different parts of the country. Do you still think that's the case, or do you think now that there is a UK-wide peak and that we'll be moving, as we've moved into these restrictions together, we'll also be moving out of them together?
Well, on your first question, we will be guided by the science and by the data in 3 weeks' time. It's why I've been reluctant to get drawn into conversations about what precisely might change. But we are planning for the day when things can change. And if the data and the science tells us in 3 weeks' time that we have suppressed the circulation of the virus in the community to an extent where it is possible to begin to lift restrictions, that's what we will look to do. But we will only do it when it is safe to do so, and when that is what we are recommended to do by chief medical officers and scientific advisers. But because we hope to be in that position and will be in that position one day, we're planning now to make sure that the measures we identify to begin to lift the lockdown are the right ones and the ones that pose the least risk. I think the pattern has been different in different parts of the United Kingdom. We have seen peaks in London, for example, ahead of peaks in the west or the north of Wales. But the virus pattern appears to be one of moving west and moving north. And over time, those differences may well be eroded. We introduced the lockdown measures on a uniform basis across the United Kingdom. I said in my opening remarks, I want to continue to work with other governments across the United Kingdom to plan for a UK way of coming out of the coronavirus, albeit that, as we have here in Wales, fine-tune the regulations in ways that meet our own circumstances, there may still be some things at the margins that we will do differently in different parts of the UK. But a UK way of doing things remains, I think, a strength, and I hope we'll be able to continue to do that.
But just on that, if, for example, you think the peak is going to come at a later stage in, say, West Wales or North Wales, as you have said in the past, but perhaps they're peaking in London at the moment, is it likely that, you know, we're going to keep restrictions in London at the same time waiting for a peak in West Wales? Are you going to be in a difficult position before long, having to make a decision that is uniquely right for Wales?
Well, if there is a course of action that is the right one for Wales and is different to elsewhere, then we will take it. But making differences by geography is fraught with other difficulties, difficulties of enforcement, difficulties of getting people to understand what it is. If you've got one simple message that applies everywhere in the United Kingdom, even where circumstances are not identical, that really helps people to understand what is being asked of them. So I'll be reluctant to move to a geographical set of distinctions because I think they bring complexity with them. But if the evidence was, and if the advice from the medical experts was, that we needed to do things differently and that was right for Wales, then of course that is what we would do.
And sorry, can I ask that in Welsh? Gallwch chi ateb y cwestiwn yna yn Gymraeg?
Yeah, wrth gwrs. Wel, ar hyn o bryd, ni wedi wneud popeth dygilydd mwy na lai dros y Deyrnas Unedig i gyd, a mae lot o cryfder sy'n dod trwy'r wneud pethau fel yna. Mae'r neges yn syml, mae'r neges yr un neges ledled y Deyrnas Unedig. Wrth gwrs, os mae'r cyngor sy'n dod ato ni yn ddweud, mae'n pwysig i ni wneud pethau wahanol yma yng Nghymru, a dyna yw y ffordd gorau i ni yng Nghymru. Dyna beth y Llywodraeth ni'n mynd i wneud. Ond ar hyn o bryd, ni wedi wneud pethau dygilydd. Dwi eisiau gweithio gyda'r Llywodraethau eraill yn y Deyrnas Unedig i cadw wneud pethau fel yna, achos fel yna mae un neges da ni, a neges yw yr un peth ledled y Deyrnas Unedig, a dwi'n meddwl mae hwnna'n helpu bobl i gwybod beth ni'n ofyn iddyn nhw i wneud ac i cario ymlaen i wneud pethau pwysig.
So, can I just ask one very final question? It's to do with the Older People's Commissioner's comments this morning. She says that there needs to be a greater sense of urgency over testing people in care homes, staff and residents, provision of PPE, and you know that there's a danger that care homes become sort of Cinderella service.
Well, I certainly don't think that is the case now in terms of PPE. We have two deliveries every week to local authorities and on to care homes in their area. 40% of all the items released from the Welsh Government pandemic stock have gone to the care sector here in Wales. It's simply not the case that the care sector has got what's left over after the NHS has had first call on it. Where there are isolated examples of people not getting what they want, we put a dedicated helpline in place for people to get the help they need. And we are increasing the number of tests that are available to staff in care homes. We recognise the astonishing job they are doing, the bravery that that often involves. So there will be more tests and more testing of people who are working in that sector too. Of course, we take what the Older Persons Commissioner says very seriously, and I think we will be able to respond very positively to the concerns she has raised. Dan.
Thank you very much, First Minister. Daniel Bevan from Global. We saw yesterday many scenes, as we have the last 4 weeks, of people on the doorsteps clapping for carers. But one video that's caught the eye of many people is one on Westminster Bridge, where members of the public gathered as well as police officers to clap outside a hospital that's situated near there. Can I get your opinion on that? And is it also a case of one rule for some and another rule for others? And if I could get an answer in Welsh and English, that'd be great.
Well, I was out last night where I live at 8 o'clock, and you know, it is very striking the number of people on their doorsteps or from inside their own homes who want to show their appreciation of everything that is being done in the health service and by care staff. So I'm very keen to endorse that and to encourage it, and was very pleased to take part again myself last night. It remains very important that people do not gather in numbers and places where they end up being a source of potential harm to themselves and others. So I don't encourage people to get together in that way. I think the way we're doing it, from our own doorsteps, in our own streets, alongside our friends and neighbours, gives an extra strength to the way things are being done. And I know just how much that is appreciated by people who work in those services.
Mm-hmm. And Yng Gymraeg, if I could.
Oh, Yng Gymraeg, well, neithiwr oedden ni'n mas a stepyn drws ble dwi'n byw, oedd lot o bobl mas unwaith eto. Rai pobl tu fas, rai pobl yn neud e, tu fewn i'r cartrefi nhw. Dwi'n gwybod mae pobl sy'n gweithio yn y gwasanaeth iechyd ac yn y maes gofal yn y gymuned yn gwerthfawrogi'n fawr y cefnogaeth maen nhw'n gael o bobl fel na. Dwi'n meddwl mae'n pwysig i bobl wneud e yn ofalus. Dwi ddim yn eisiau weld pobl dod dy gilydd i wneud e, ble mae hwnna yn gallu creu problemau iddyn nhw ac i bobl eraill. So y ffordd i wneud e yng Nghymru yw ffordd dwi'n meddwl sy'n addas i ni, sy'n gweithio i ni, a dwi'n eisiau a persuadio bobl i cario ymlaen yn y ffordd maen nhw wedi wneud yn barod.
And just one last question from me, once again in Welsh and English, if I could. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, said today that the response, the UK response to this pandemic was slow. Can I just get your response to that, please?
Well, we work closely with other governments across the United Kingdom. Nowhere in the world has been prepared for corona virus, and it's been a challenge for all governments. When we look back, as we will, there will no doubt be things that we think, with the benefit of hindsight, that could have been done differently and maybe could have been done earlier. But my experience of working with all governments is that there is a genuine dedication to making the right decision at the right time and to do everything we can together to help people who live in all parts of the United Kingdom in dealing with the threat that this virus poses to us all. Now, the number of questions that have come in from people who aren't able to be in the room, so I'm going to try and deal with as many of those as I can. So the first one today comes from Llanelli Online, and they're asking, if we are all following guidelines and precautions for social distancing, why can't smaller businesses reopen and adhere to the same policies like supermarkets? Well, I think my answer to that is that we've never had a policy in Wales of closing businesses. We want businesses to be open, but we want businesses to operate safely and to put the health and well-being of their workforce at the front of their thinking. That's why we've put the 2 metre rule into regulations here in Wales. But where businesses are able to follow guidelines and take the precautions for social distancing, then we want those businesses to operate. So that will be my answer. Where they can do it in the right way, there shouldn't be a reason for not doing the important business of keeping our economy going. Mark Hutchins from Radio 5 Live is asking whether it's time to change the advice on masks and encourage the public to wear them, for instance, in the workplace or on public transport, or aren't there enough to go round? Well, the advice on masks that we have had consistently from the chief medical officers is that it is not a clinical course of action that they would advise. They don't think that the clinical benefits from it are sufficient to advise people to do it. But they keep that advice under, I know, very careful review. And thinking of what the Mayor of London was saying overnight, if we were to move back to a situation in which there were lots more people using it in the people will know, if you travel on the tube in London, there's no social distancing possibilities there. If we were to move back into that sort of world, then I'm sure chief medical officers would calibrate their advice accordingly. And as we move out of coronavirus, maybe this will be part of the repertoire. But we will do it in Wales when we are advised, and if we are advised to do it by those people who we rely on to make sure we're doing the right thing. Another one from Mark asking how soon testing can be extended to frontline workers such as police, prison and fire officers and local authority staff. Well, as I said a few moments ago, we are already offering testing to local authority staff in social care and domiciliary and residential care. And we're now at the point where if local resilience forums have people in other services, such as the police and fire officers, who they need to have tested in order to release them back into the workforce, we're going to be able to do that as well. So we're already planning for this to happen, and we're already doing it in a number of instances. Mark Smith from Wales Online asks if I regret not shutting down major events sooner, giving mixed messages about Wales versus Scotland and allowing mass gatherings like the Stereophonics gigs to go ahead. Well, I think the first thing to say is the Wales versus Scotland game didn't go ahead, so it's not an example of a major event not being shut down. It didn't happen. And actually, the whole of the United Kingdom moved to postpone mass gatherings on the same day. Scotland had announced they were going to a few days earlier, but had said it would start from the Monday, and the Monday was the day on which the restrictions were introduced right across the United Kingdom. So we were in no different position here in Wales than anywhere else, and as soon as the advice was that it was clinically important to shut down major events, that's exactly what we did. Gwestiwn ymrag o Dewi Llwyd, raglen dros cinio ar BBC Radio Cymru, a mae ein ofyn a oes gan eich llywodraeth strategaeth ar gyfer dod â'r cyfyngiadau i ben, a fyddech chi'n fodlon dweud wrth bobl Cymru beth yw honno, fel sydd wedi digwydd mewn gwledydd eraill, ac a fydd cyfyngiadau dod i ben yn yr un pryd ym mhob un o wledydd y Deyrnas Unedig. Wel, dwi'n meddwl dwi wedi ateb y cwestiwn na yn barod. Ni'n gweithio ar y strategaeth tu fewn i'r Llywodraeth Cymreig i dod i'r cyfyngiadau i ben. Dwi ddim yn fodlon i ddweud heddi yn penodol beth ni'n mynd i wneud, ond dwi wedi trio i esbonio y gwaith sy'n mynd ymlaen i dod at y pwynt ble allwn ni ddweud i bobl yng Nghymru beth yn union ni'n mynd i awgrymu. A yn fy marn i, mae ynwyll os allwn ni dod i'r cyfyngiadau i'r ben ar yr un pryd dros y Deyrnas Unedig i gyd, ond fel ni wedi clywed bore yma, os bydd y sefyllfa yn wahanol yma yng Nghymru, a os bydd y cyngor yn wahanol hefyd, wrth cwrs ni'n fodlon i wneud e mewn ffordd wahanol yng Nghymru hefyd. Rob Taylor from Wrexham.com asking, are patients in Wales who are being discharged from hospital into a social care setting being tested for COVID-19 before transfer, and if not, why not? Well, my understanding is that patients being discharged from hospital to social care who are symptomatic will always have had a test. The question is should we also test people who are leaving hospital who are showing no signs of the virus? And up until now, the medical advice has been is that there's no advantage in doing that. But I do recognise the anxieties that people working in the care home sector have if someone arrives from a hospital without a test being conducted. That's why the Health Minister, Vaughan Gethin, has made that part of the review of testing that he announced on Tuesday of this week, and why we are moving now to test all patients as they leave hospital if they're going into residential care, whether they are showing the signs of COVID-19 or not. Mark Smith from Wales Online asking whether Wales has seen an increase in fly tipping as a result of recycling centres being closed. Well, I don't have any official or formal figures of an increase in fly tipping, but my colleagues in different parts of Wales are reporting that they are seeing, and their constituents are reporting to them, increases in fly tipping. We just have to urge people in Wales that is not the right way to solve the problem of recycling centres not being open. I know there will be many gardens in Wales where people have been working hard and have taken the chance of the weather and the time over the last 3 weeks to do jobs that they haven't been able to do otherwise. But the answer is, if there is rubbish that will need to be disposed of beyond the lockdown period, keep it where it is, stay at home with that as well. And fly tipping, which is a criminal offence, let's not forget that, is not the answer. Another question from Mark Hutchins at Radio 5 Live, asking if I agree with Sir Keir Starmer that First Secretary Dominic Raab appears reluctant to sign off an exit strategy in the absence of the Prime Minister. Does the Welsh Government have an exit strategy in place? Well, it's not for me in a way to comment on the internal workings of the UK government. We had a COBRA meeting yesterday. We had one last week. They were both chaired by Dominic Raab. The UK government continues to operate, but nobody would imagine that the absence of the Prime Minister is having no effect on the way that the UK government is able to operate, and it may be that it is causing some additional obstacles to them reaching decisions in a way that they would be able to had the Prime Minister been there and fully able to function. From the Welsh Government's point of view, as I've tried to explain this morning, we do have a plan to use the next 3 weeks very purposefully on our exit strategy, so when we get to the point when we are able to move ahead, we'll have done all the preparation. Un arall yn Gymraeg o Iolo Jones o ddiwrth golwg, rydych wedi dweud y dylwn dderbyn arian ffurfio'r barnet ar sail angen, onid yw'r un peth yn wir a mae'n quota PPE a phrofion. Hynny yw, a ddylwn dderbyn arai ar sail angen, nid poblogaeth. Wel, ar ran arian, dyna beth ni wedi dweud dros y blynyddoedd. Ni'n eisiau newid y ffurfio'r barnet, nid jyst yn y cyd-destun coronavirus, ond achos mae'r ffurfio'r barnet ddim yn gweithio a ddim yn cynnabod angen yn y ffordd mae'n gweithio. I gweud y gwir, ni yn cael ein cwta o PPE ar sail angen. Ni wedi rhoi pethau i'r ar Alban, dwi'n meddwl, o'r stoc sydd da ni, pan oedden nhw'n angen i nhw cael pethau, ni wedi cael pethau i fewn o gwledydd eraill ar Dynas Unedig hefyd, a ni'n neud e ar sail a angen. So, ni'n trial i gweithio pethau ar y basis yna. Time to go back round to a couple of questions in the room. Owain.
Sorry, Owain from ITV. Can I ask on a survey that was out today by ITV and carehome.co.uk of nearly 3,000 care home workers, and nearly half of them suspected that there was coronavirus at their place of work. What about the reporting here of coronavirus in care homes? Obviously, that's far lower than that figure. Isn't there more work to be done here in terms of the reporting?
Well, look, I want to recognise the anxiety that people working in care homes feel, and they are very alert to any signs, as you'd expect them to be, the coronavirus might be circulating in their place of work. So I completely understand why a figure of that sort would emerge. We have a reporting mechanism. ONS reports every Tuesday on deaths in care homes and in the community as well as in hospitals. It is inevitably a week or two behind where things are today because it relies on death certification, and death certificates take a while to make their way through the system. So we have a system, but we rely as well on the reports we get from frontline workers, and the gap between what they are experiencing and reporting is, I think, partly because they are very sensitised to it, and partly because the official system for recording things does run a bit behind, you know, today's realities. Dan.
Can I ask about Powys in particular, a place where there hasn't been very many cases of coronavirus, despite it bordering with health boards that have seen significant numbers and also sharing a big border with England. Is it possible, because of the rural nature of that area in particular, that as a result of fewer testing taking place there as well, due to there not being as many hospitals, etc., that as a result, the numbers are significantly lower and potentially incorrect in places like Powys?
Well, you're right to say that the figures are a function of the testing. So that may be playing a part, but it's also definitely the case, isn't it, is that more sparsely populated areas have greater opportunities for social distancing. Rural areas, not just in Wales, are reporting lower numbers, just as urban areas where people live much more closely to one another offer different opportunities for the virus to spread. So no part of Wales will be immune from this virus over time, and that will be true of Powys as well. But the dispersed nature of the Powys population is playing its part in a slower spread of the virus, we suspect, there than in heavily populated areas such as Cardiff or the Valley communities.
So could it potentially hang around for a little bit longer in areas like that?
Our figures are showing, the figures that are reported through the SAGE, that the rate of flow of the virus in the community is now well suppressed as a result of the efforts that everybody is making, and those efforts are being made in Powys as elsewhere. So I've not seen anything that suggests that the success we've had in suppressing the R value, as it's called, the reproduction value, the rate at which people pass it on to other people, which is below the figure we needed to be at the moment, we hope, that that's true of Powys as well as elsewhere. And one last one, Jim.
What do you make of Plaid Cymru's call for social care workers here in Wales to have an uplift in their wages, as has happened in Scotland?
Well, we are looking carefully at what we might be able to do for social care workers. One of the things that I think surely the whole experience of coronavirus will teach us, I hope, is to value those people we rely on the most, and to try and avoid the pattern we've had in this country for the last 10 years of growing inequality, where the people we rely on now are amongst the least well-paid people in society, and people who have historically been much better rewarded have much less to offer in dealing with the pandemic. So we are working carefully with Care Forum Wales and others on whether it's possible to recognise financially the contribution that those people are making. The Welsh Government doesn't pay care home workers. They're, by and large, they're employed by private businesses who set those wages. But you know, we want to recognise the astonishing contribution that those people are making, and money may be one of the ways in which we'll be able to do that. Diolch yn fawr. Thank you all very much indeed.